ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक्प्राणश्चक्षुः श्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्मोपनिषदं माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्यां मा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणं मे अस्तु तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्माः ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु। ॐ शान्ति 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 हरिः। ॐ ॐ मे मै लिम्स् स्पीच् वैटल् फोर्स् ऐस् इयर्स् एज़ आल्सो स्ट्रेंथ एंड ऑल दि ऑर्गन्स बिकम वेल डेवलप्ड एवरीथिंग इज दि ब्रह्मन रिवील्ड इन दि उपनिषद्स। मे आई नॉट डिनाय ब्रह्मन मे नॉट ब्रह्मन डिनाय मी लेट देयर बी नो स्पर्निंग ऑफ मी बाय ब्रह्मन लेट देयर बी नो रिजेक्शन ऑफ ब्रह्मन बाय मी मे ऑल दि वर्च्यूज दैट आर स्पोकन ऑफ इन दि उपनिषद्स रिपोज इन मी हु आई एम एंगेज्ड in the pursuit of the self, may they repose in me. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. We are studying the 7th chapter of the Chandogya Upanishad called Bhumananda. In our last class, we were studying the 17th section called Desire to Know Satyam. Why Narada, after hearing from Sanat Kumara that he who realizes truth, whatever he speaks, becomes only truth, nothing but truth. So, such a person is called Ativadi or Super Ativadi. So, Narada wants to become an Ativadi. Previously, he who becomes one with Hiranyagarbha, he was called an Ativadi. Hiranyagarbha, we can take as Saguna Brahma. And even he who becomes one or identifies himself with Saguna Brahma can also becomes Ativadi. But this person who identifies himself as Brahman or Nirguna Brahman becomes Super Ativadi. So I would like to be Super Ativadi. In reply, Sanat Kumara tells, you will have to realize Satyam because knowledge alone, jnanam alone, becomes satyam. And the highest knowledge is called Brahman. At the level of Brahman, there is no such a difference as this is an object and I am separate and I have the knowledge of the object. That subject-object division, dichotomy, will become subsumed. That is, becomes one. So, he who becomes Brahman, he is the Satyam, he is the Jnanam, he is the Anantam. Such a person is called Super Ativadi. And that's what I would like to become. Okay, if you wish to become, you will have to realize that truth. Not know the truth, but realize the truth. What is realization? I am that truth. Not that I am knowing the truth, but I am the truth. Aham Brahmasmi. So, if you want to know, so I would like to realize Satyam. That's what we have seen. So, truth depends upon understanding. Therefore, now slowly Sanat Kumara is leading. Narada is a disciple. Now, you will have to know the truth. In order to become one with truth, you will have to know the truth. And truth depends upon understanding, vijnanam. Satyam depends upon vijnanam. Okay, I would like to know the truth, or I would like to know that understanding. I would like to understand that understanding. Yada vai vijanati atha satyam vadati. That is to say, simply saying, I want to become Brahman will not do. I will have to be fit for that. So for that purpose, we will have to work very hard. So this was what we were discussing, that Sanat Kumara says, O Narada, you can speak truth only when you know what truth is. Otherwise, how can you speak truth? Truth is not what you know now, what you think truth is. In that context, we have said there are two types of truths. I see a tree, and if someone asks who doesn't know what that object is, I say that is a tree, that is a mango tree, and it yields sweet fruits, which is an absolute truth. But that is paramarthika satyam, because I have not become the mango tree. I just remain separate, and mango tree remains separate, and something connects. This is called in Vedanta Triputi. Triputi means the subject, the object, and that which connects both subject and object. So that is called Triputi. That is what is called Maya. That is what creates all the bondage. And therefore, I must become one with Brahman. That means what? I must become one with the whole world. That dichotomy should be completely eliminated, destroyed. So, what is not I is not real Satya. That is to say, if I want to become one with the mango tree in this example, I should know I am that mango tree. Recollect, Ramakrishna was lying in his room. There was a beautiful lawn in spring season. Newly grown durva grass was aplenty, and a man was walking across it, and Sri Ramakrishna felt the pain which that grass probably was experiencing on his own says, I am that durva grass. So that is called Satyam. That is what is called Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma, Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Sarvam Idam Asmi. Since Brahman is everything, since I am Brahman, I am everything. That is called Satyam. That is what is said. What is not I is not real Satyam. I must become one with that Satyam. So we are entering into that subject, which is so difficult. Sri Ramakrishna says, it is extremely difficult to realize Brahman as it were. Sri Ramakrishna, instead of using the word Saguna Brahma, used the word Shakti. So one can attain oneness with Shakti, but to know that I am Brahman, then one has to transcend even that Shakti, merge himself into Shakti, Shakti into Nirguna Brahman, and then he will be able to say, Aham Brahmasmi. And if he comes back again into this body-mind complex, he will say, Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. And after hearing from Sanat Kumara, Narada says, so may I, Venerable Sir, become Ativadi by the knowledge of the truth. Sanat Kumara says, but you should desire to know the truth. Venerable Sir, I desire to know the truth. And in answer, Sanat Kumara, he says, O Narada, listen to this. This is the introduction to section 17. Yada vai vijanati atha satyam vadati. Na avijanan sat na satyam vadati. Vijanan eva satyam vadati. Vijnanam tu eva vijignasitavyam iti. Vijnanam bhagavo vijignasa iti. Only one mantra. For several sections, only one mantra will be there, but with profound meaning. So, what did Sanat Kumara say? When one understands the truth, only then does one declare the truth. Here, understanding means not like us understanding another person, another tree, another object. Here, understanding means attaining complete oneness with that object. One who doesn't understand the truth does not declare it. Only one who understands it declares the truth. That means whatever he speaks, that is the satyam. Here true means satyam. So one must desire to understand this understanding. Venerable sir, I desire to understand. So this is what we have spoken. Just now I have given that introduction. Paramarthika satyam. We are already in that state. Whatever we come to know. Even in this paramarthika satyam, how many things are there that we really do not know? Billions and billions every day. Scientists are trying to fathom the mysteries of so many things. In fact, we don't know anything about this world. Can anybody claim, I know everything about amoeba or a mosquito? Many people think, simple example I'm giving, many people think mosquitoes are very dangerous insects. They spread disease. But we do not understand. Suppose all the mosquitoes are eliminated, then there will be a terrible loss. We will be subject to incurable diseases. How come? Because these mosquitoes, what they do, we do not analyze. We only know when they bite us, then we will get sometimes diseases. But what they are doing at other times, how many undesirable elements they are removing. For example, another example, there are vultures. And everybody hates vultures because they eat rotten carcasses. But how much they are cleaning if those carcasses are left without anybody destroying them, how much of disease they can spread. We have to open our eyes. How this black death has practically decimated the whole of the world a few centuries back. Even today, they are ignoring. Who knows? Tomorrow, some rogue country, it need not spend trillions of dollars for destructive weapons. They can develop and release such a virus that even that very ordinary virus, which we called COVID, had damaged so many people died, so much of loss was there. Millions of people have died actually. But there are billions of times more powerful viruses than that. And many countries know it. Some countries are actively cultivating them because they cannot do the other destructive weapons. So only the Divine Mother knows what is happening. Coming back to our subject, how much good the mosquitoes are doing, that we do not understand. There is no single object in this world which plays only the role of complete destruction. Every object has both destructive and constructive sides. Take a human being. If a real intelligent person is asked, who is the most destructive creature in this whole world? And we will be forced to admit it is only a human being. How much of destruction other things have done, how much we are doing it to ourselves. What is the point? Nothing is redundant. In this world, everything has got a good side and also a negative side. So we have to take it into consideration. And left to nature, nature keeps a beautiful balance. And that is called holistic attitude. Anyway, what I am trying to tell you, that when I become one with the whole universe, by knowing the truth that everything is Brahman and I am that Brahman and therefore I am everything, then only that is called Paramarthika Satyam. And that's what one must realize. Then only one can speak, become super Ativadi. So I would like to become. So for that, you should realize the truth. So I would like to realize the truth. But if you want to realize truth, you must have intense desire. What Sri Ramakrishna calls Parama Vyakulata. So I desire to understand what is the truth. So
these two orders, Vyavaharika Satyam, we already know, but even we are terribly ignorant of even Vyavaharika Satyam, not to speak of Paramarthika Satyam. But it is not necessary, we have to know everything. In fact, Sri Ramakrishna says, to know many is called ignorance, and to know one is called knowledge. So, there is higher order of truth called Paramarthika Satyam, and if one wants to realize it, first of all, one must have tremendous understanding. That I must have that understanding. What is that understanding? That unless I realize that highest truth, I am bound to suffer. I am already bound. I am suffering. Oh, is everybody suffering? Bhagavan, Buddha, he says, the very birth is suffering. To be born is suffering. To grow up is suffering. And to become old is suffering. And to die is suffering. Everything is suffering only. That is the real truth about it. Suffering is the truth of life. Who says? Buddha. Does it contradict reason? Is everybody suffering? You see, Sri Ramakrishna told something very important. Supposing there is, previously, there used to be some kind of lower type of caste people whose duty it is to clean the lavatories. In those days, this present system was not there. So they used to carry in buckets other people's filth on their heads. And it looks horrible for us. But those people, they are laughing, they are joking, and they are staying in what is called slum areas. And there will be some person, and they're smelling, an old person, and frying pakodas, and they are sitting and eating pakodas, drinking roadside tea. They are enjoying, like any one of us. What does it mean? It means human beings are capable of adjusting to it, where there is terrible cold, where there is terrible heat, where there is a terrible smell. How long will the smell will be there? After a few days, that smell becomes, we ignore that smell completely. And after some time, maybe we cannot live without that smell, like that the flower seller cannot live without that smell. The fish, dry fish seller cannot live without that fishy smell. So we can get adjusted. So is that called happiness or is that called suffering? When the same person becomes a little bit advanced, then you can say that person cannot tolerate, he cannot go back. So this is the one of the steps leading to the highest happiness. This is called the law of happiness. So long as we do not know anything higher happiness, then the lower happiness becomes our goal. But once we taste a higher happiness, then the lower happiness is called dukkha or suffering. Suffering or enjoying, less of enjoyment is called suffering. Less of suffering is called enjoyment. So look at it in this light. Then you will see we always compare ourselves. Another example I cannot resist giving for clarification. Suppose a person who is earning only 1,000 rupees, suddenly he is promoted to 10,000 rupees a month salary. For some time he becomes very, very happy because he is comparing, I was only earning 1,000, now I am earning 10 times more than that. Then after a few days, he becomes terribly dissatisfied. He looks up to somebody and says, but that person is earning 20,000 rupees or even 10,001 rupee. So he dissatisfaction starts because of the comparison. If he remains comparing, I was only earning 1,000, now I am earning 10 times, he will be the happiest person. So less of suffering is called sukham and less of sukham is called dukham. Think of it, then you will understand what it is. Anyway, coming back to our, so one has to desire. When does one desire? Only when a person attains to a particular state, then for a short time, oh, I am so lucky to be in this state. But then soon, dissatisfaction comes. When does the quest stop? Only when we attain to the highest, because there is nothing higher than that. And that highest is called Brahman. Call him Nirguna Brahma, whatever Satyam, whatever name. So the understanding of this truth is also a higher kind of understanding or self-awareness described here as Vijnana. I would like to know. So first of all, I must have that desire. So to see this, there is an example given. To see fire as burning, luminous substance, is a lower truth. Fire is burning and it is luminous and it also burns anything that is there. What is the higher truth about that fire? That there is a higher dimension. Do not use the sixth case now. We have to come to the first case. Fire is burning. Burning is fire. Fire is light. Light is fire. We popularly say sunlight, the light of the sun. That is called sixth case. But no, there is, if you remove the sunlight from the sun, it is like trying to remove whiteness from the milk and the burning from the fire. So many times we discussed this point. Fire, though conventionally we say fire burns, fire doesn't burn. That is its nature. Fire means burning power. So if something goes near and put it some paper or some pieces of wood and it starts burning, and then we say fire is burning as if it is doing some action. You ask the fire, why are you burning these pieces of wood? It says, burning? What do you mean by burning? Am I burning something? I don't understand. Because fire doesn't know what is called burning. That is its very nature. Ask the sun, why are you sometimes giving bright light? Sometimes you are only giving smaller light, say in the at dawn, at dusk, but at midday it gives tremendous, and at midnight no light at all. The sun says, what are you talking? What do you mean by light? What do you mean by heat? That is the higher truth, that the sun and the sunlight, the sun and the heat, they are not separate. If you separate, then that is called Vyavaharika Satyam. If you do not separate, that is called Paramarthika Satyam. And that is what Sri Ramakrishna means. Shakti means to see Triputi. Brahman means to see nothing, because we will not be there even to see. That is the essence of the 17th. That is, Sanat Kumara instructs, you should know the truth. You should know the truth. So, as Narada says, I would like to know the truth. Obviously, he went and did a lot of upasana. We have to add that one. So it is not said here, pranam brahmeti upasva. So you must contemplate pranam as Brahman, etc., etc., that we have seen until 15th section, that we have to forget. But here again, we have to add that one and say, same process. So I would like to know the truth, realize the truth. So for that, you should have intense desire to know the truth. And Narada must have been aroused. That is what Katupanishad says, Uttishtata Jagrata Prapya Varahan Nibodhata. So we approach them. And we will discuss this mantra from Katupanishad. Is very important for us. So, 17th section, so you must, what is Satyam? You must desire to know the Satyam. Vijignasitavyam. And how does that desire, to create an intense desire to know the truth, how does it come? And these processes we are familiar with in our psychological analysis. How? Suppose you come to know that there is a sweet and you have this knowledge. And in the beginning, that knowledge doesn't create any desire. So after some time, you go on hearing. This sweet is very, very best of the sweets. Like that, you go on hearing. From whom? From people who have experienced it, who have eaten it, and who knows the difference between this particular sweet and other sweets. So by hearing them many times, then maybe it is wonderful. Maybe I am missing something. So let me desire that one. The desire doesn't become immediately very strong. It requires tremendous amount of effort. About anything like that, we have to think a lot about it. That is what Sanat Kumara is trying to lead Narada. So I would like to know. That means I would like to develop a strong desire to know the truth. You see, we are all listening to these Upanishads. We are discussing the highest truths. Is there a strong desire in us? I want to realize God. How many people are about to cut their throats or cry like Ramakrishna, Mother, another day passed without seeing you? How many of us will feel? So we just pray, Mother, I would like, if it can come very easily, then I would like to realize you. But if you are not very happy about it, okay, I will wait for some time because I have other things also to do, desire. So what is the obstruction? Other desires. Desires for other than Paramarthika Satyam is the only obstruction. That is, has to be overcome. So the 18th section, now Sanat Kumara is leading. Understanding depends. That is, I would like to understand. But that desire to understand depends upon what? Manana, reflection. Here it is called. So, manute yada vai manute atha vijanati. When this person starts what? Manute, go on thinking. So that is why, as we go on thinking, so things become clear. It is called manana. That is exactly what happens in the second step according to Jnana Yoga. The Guru tells, you are that. But the disciple listens. He has got some faith, but he doesn't have that desire. Okay, Guru told, it must be true. So let me think about it. So many doubts will come. Is he telling the truth? Maybe he thinks he is telling the truth. Then manana, churning, the samudra, kshira samudra. And as we go on churning, what comes? Halahala, visha will come. What is this halahala visha? Terrible doubts. All these janmas, koti janma, I have been seeing this world is real. And suddenly this person comes and says, this is all mithya. The real reality, Paramarthika Satyam, is different. It is very hard for it. Because how do we know? The moment we are convinced God alone is real, a person will just run like a madcap towards God. But that's not happening. Leisurely we say, so when it happens. Let me meanwhile go on about it. So how do we produce that deep desire? This is beautiful psychology. Yada vai manute, when a person starts thinking what? Pros and cons. What do you mean by pros and cons? Pros means what? So cons means what? Cons means the negative points. Am I not happy now? So I have got a family. I have got money. I have got so many things, cars and anything that I want. But what happens when I become old? Even if I have, what becomes when I die? What becomes when I am sleeping? So what happens if the what you call stock market falls, what happens? So many things, nobody is sure what is going to happen. Or the person may die. What is the point? His family members may be very happy. But that is why the family members, how much money they are going to spend upon that funeral ceremony, do you know? Depends upon how much they think they are going to get as an inheritance. So it is not easy even for ordinary object, because even in this world there are much, much superior ideals for us to attain. How many people really want to understand the true meaning of history? How many people understand science? How many people understand art? How many people understand psychology? Very, very minimum type of people. Even in this world, not to speak of spirituality. So it is a law that if I cheat, I'll be cheated. If I tell untruth, I'll be told untruth. So if I am not telling the truth, then I will get the result of that. Everything. This karma siddhanta, whether people accept it or not, know it or not, the result will come. And we see it every day. So, deep reflection. Pitu Shraddha, like that of Nachiketa. So, this is called Mati. Mati means that type of mind which is cannot rest without it cannot stop itself thinking. So, how can I attain that understanding? How can I get that kind of knowledge? How can I attain that goal? So, manana. Similar other words are used, mati, manana, deep reflection, etc. So, but the Upanishad carries a deep meaning than what we understand. We do not know what we are speaking and what we are hearing. Simple example I am giving. So many of us read Chandi, especially at the Durga Puja time. Quite a number of people read it every day as a Parayanam. It is full of stories, full of battles. This is what most people see it, but they have some kind of belief that there are so many beautiful hymns and everyday chanting or parayanam will bring some effect, and no doubt that's one type. There are a second type of people. For them, it is not parayana shastra, it is a mantra shastra. That is, probably you have heard it, in South India, near Chennai, there is a place called Kanchipuram. And in that, there is a Shankar Matha, which is not recognized as an orthodox matha belonging to Shankaracharya. There is controversy. Anyway, there is a Shankaracharya, and he was considered as a walking encyclopedia, Chandrasekharendra Saraswati, and he had delivered a lot of talks on what is called Saundarya Lahari. And then his interpretation is Saundarya Lahari, another work of Shankaracharya, is a mantra shastra. It is a beautiful poetry. If you are a poet, you will enjoy it. Even if you are not a poet, but an appreciator of poet, you will enjoy it. But if you are in a slightly higher position, you will consider it as a mantra, very secret mantra. So, mantra is usually, according to Tantra Shastra, is accompanied by a yantra. Mantra is accompanied by a yantra. So, if somebody has got fever, there are some verses which the Swami, he quotes and says, you repeat this mantra with these yantras, you will get this result. And do they really, or is it a superstition? I have to call ourselves stupid people. Because even a person goes mad only by thinking too much about it. Dhyanam, upasana. A mad cap is the best example of a upasaka. He thinks I'm a dog, or he thinks I'm a Napoleon, and he becomes one with Napoleon, behaves like a Napoleon. How many of us can claim we have that kind of concentration? Very few people have that one. So, Sri Ramakrishna, when he used to do puja, we know the Agni Mantra immediately became Pratyaksha. So there are people who have tremendous faith and they do it, and for them it becomes Paramasatyam. It is a truth. So one has to have faith in the Guru, in the scriptures, and do all those things. And they, every one of them will come true. So the Swami interpreted it as Mantra Shastra. There is another type of person. They are called artists, or what we call poets. And they look at it purely from the viewpoint of poetry only. And there are some other people who look at it that they contain deeper spiritual truths. And I am one of them. What is this battle? Life is a battle. Dharma Kshetra, Kuru Kshetra. And there is a continuous, constant, unceasing battle between Daiva and Asura, gods and demons. That is the theme of the Bhagavad Gita also, Upanishads also. So, in the case of Gita, Bhagavan Krishna is the Divine Mother. And here in the Chandi, it is the Divine Mother. Devas are those who are endowed with spiritual quality. Not, I don't exactly say spiritual, but very good qualities. And the opposite, the Asuras, Rakshasas, whether it is Madhu or Kaitava, Mahishasura, or Shumbha, Nishumbha, or Rakta Bija, they are all Asuras. That is, they are divine beings, but temporarily covered up with demonic qualities. Don't forget, each soul is potentially divine. So fight. Life is a fight. But in that battle, if we surrender ourselves to the Divine Mother, then the Divine Mother will help us. She will fight on our behalf. That is, our mind is endowed with this power of the Divine, and it will fight, and it will subdue, it will destroy, and slowly spiritual qualities, Te Mayi Santu, Te Mayi Santu, let all these wonderful qualities manifest in me. So as an example, I'm telling you the second story, Mahishasura. So this Mahishasura, what does he represent? His Mahishasura means buffalo. Buffalo has got the quality, very stubborn. It will never listen to anybody. That Mahishasura is representative of what is called egotism. And egotism we can never directly see because it can take 6 forms. Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Madha, Matsarya. Only? No. Egotism can also take what Sri Ramakrishna calls Pakami, mature ego. I am a devotee of God. So, I am a bhakta of God. Or, I am a good person. I want to be a good person. I want to be a truthful person. I want to be a helpful person. I want to be a serviceable person. Whether it is Asuri Sampat, demonic qualities, or Daivi Sampat. Egotism is not necessarily a horrible thing. It can be, as Sri Ramakrishna says, a mature ego or an immature ego. One endowed with knowledge, another endowed with ignorance. So there must be a transition. But if we fight these two, then if Divine Mother assists, like Krishna, without Krishna, Arjuna could never have won the battle. We are not talking about the external, physical, gross battle. We are talking about we are continuously fighting against these demonic qualities because each soul is potentially divine. So this Mahishasura, so at some time, he will manifest in the form of Kama, tremendous, what is called, lust. And then the Divine Mother wants to kill him. Then he will change his form. If Kama is somehow destroyed, it becomes Krodha, anger. If Krodha is destroyed, it will become Lobha. If Lobha is destroyed, becomes Madha, Matsarya, etc. So we cannot see directly pure ego. Pure ego is Brahman. But all these 6 will, like a crystal reflecting, whatever colors are there behind it, this ego reflects, that is called egotism. And as I said, egotism is not only what is called wicked egotism, but good egotism is also there. So we have to transit from the wicked to the good egotism. So this is an example. Just the first story is between Madhu and Kaitava. Madhu means what? These two demons were born of the what is called from the ear dirt of Vishnu. So what does it mean? It means our ears. We have, all of us are endowed with two ears. So E-A-R-E-S, not Y-E-A-R-E-S. So two ears. What is it? Our nature. We have become slaves to these ears. That means hearing. What are we slaves? We would like to hear only appreciation of ours, praise of ours, buttering of ourselves, and we never want to hear about criticism, however right the person is. Even if the doctor wants to say, we say, you invent some technical word for it so that I can tell it to my other persons. We do not want to accept. So there are what is called symbolical meanings are there. So that is one way of looking at things. So whatever a person wants, interpret it, that will be true for that person. So what are we talking about? This manana is deep churning. First, terrible doubts will come. And that terrific form of doubt is called hala hala visha. And Vishnu sends, you take it to Shiva. And stupid fellows interpret, Vishnu always makes ridicules to Shiva. So he sent it to Shiva. Shiva traditionally represents Jnanam. Vishnu represents Bhakti. So Jnanam should come and destroy the Visha. That is poison. Virulent poison. How? My friend, your own old samskaras are coming up and you will have to swallow because it is your own creation. And slowly, slowly transform it. How? Go on churning this Visha. And then ultimately nectar will come, spring out of this. Your own mind is the Kshirasagara. It contains demonic as well as divine qualities. But the whole mind should join together. There cannot be any dichotomy, division between the mind. And these doubts will come. Disbelief will come. And if you study Sri Ramakrishna Lila Prasanga, the great master, then you will see at some point of time, even Swami Abhedananda says, I lost my faith in God. And he was troubled. He went to Sri Ramakrishna. And Sri Ramakrishna said, yes, at one time, I also had to go through. Every sadhaka has to descend into the depths of this disbelief. And this is what Saint John of the Cross says, the darkness of the soul, the soul should travel from the darkness, the dark tunnel to light. Before we can go to light, we must travel the dark night of the soul, that beautiful poem, so beautifully interpreted. It is a mystical poem actually. So, we have to go on doing mananam. That is the essence of this particular section in this. So it is the tendency always where each soul is potentially divine, and I said we are all standing on the escalator called evolution. The final goal of the evolution is to take us to that highest reality. How do we know that reality is to be known? Who put this idea into our head? So we say, I want to know God. So I have to think about God. I must search for God, for reality. I must aspire for the absolute. Where from this idea has come? Stupid people or with less intelligent people think, oh, I read about it in the scriptures. I heard it from the guru. Billions of people read scriptures. Every religion has got its own scripture. And one's own experience in this world also can lead us to the same effect. Is that desire coming from this? No. There is, even prior to creation, that desire is there. This is what in Vedanta, in philosophical terms, it is called teleological urge. That is, there is every seed has that urge. I must manifest into my true nature, because a seed is nothing but each seed is a potential tree or plant. So that potentiality is there, and that is not somehow coming superfluously sometime on the way. It is inherent in it. So this desire that I want to become divine, that means I want to know the truth, that means I want to realize that I am the truth, that is there even before creation comes. But during the state of evolution, and every evolution is preceded by involution. That involution contains that seed, I want to become myself. This is going to come in this particular 18th chapter, which we will see in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Muhur Muhu. May Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.